be in the name of God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm sure I've shared this thought with you before, but unless there be any question, I am always right. I know what is best for me. I know what is best for John. I know what is best for everybody. So don't get in my face and tell me something different. I firmly believe that this is truly the nature of original sin. That all of us know full well that we are the center of the universe, that everything revolves around us, and every knee needs to bow to our desire, our wish, our way of doing things. That is who we are. And it is to us that God sent His Son Jesus into the world to show a different way. To show a way that is more full, more inclusive, more open to the ways of God than to the ways of George, to the ways of whoever. In this morning's epistle, Paul reminds us with these words, "We do not live to ourselves and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." Paul is reminding us to look to something different, to look at God's way rather than our way, to live not for self, but to live for the other. For it is the other that Jesus came. It is for the other that Jesus calls us to open our eyes and to see in different ways. To see no longer as we see ourselves, but to try our best to look through the eyes of others. We do not live for ourselves. We live for God. For God, as we know Him in Jesus, who came into this world to give of self, to give completely and totally to the needs of others. Going to the cross, not counting His own safety, His own well-being, but seeing what it could do for the world that was His. Our hymn this morning, right before the gospel, points to a time when God's church is gathered together in unity as people of one common cause. But it seems like the world in which we find ourselves is such a different place. And not just the world out there, but the church that we call ourselves, St. Paul's Church, the Episcopal Church, the Christian Church, whatever you want to name it. It seems like it's filled with people who begin the phrase, just as I did this sermon. The world revolves around me. And I want things the way I want them. I don't care what you think or how you feel. I don't care how other people see me. I am only concerned with which make those things that make me the most comfortable. It's a hard time in which we live. It's a hard time as we can't be together physically. as we want to support each other in the old ways that we have. Just earlier today in the adult forum, there was conversation that it's been 75 years since our nation has really needed to pull together during the Second World War, when everyone was called to give of themselves, to do things in different ways, and that we're not doing that now. And I said, that's true. But in the midst of that, we need to remember that we are missing something that we so desperately need. And that's human touch. When we pull together during the Second World War and some tragedy happened, some family member died or was injured, we were there with a casserole. We were there with a hug. We were there joined together, physically supporting one another, and that's absent right now. It makes things difficult. But what we need to remember in this time and in this place is that our words can be uniting. Our words can be comforting. Our words can make a true difference. Jesus, in this morning's gospel, talks about forgiveness. Peter came and said to him, "Jesus, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often do I need to forgive? As many as seven times?" And then, as we know, Jesus says, no, not seven, but a whole lot more than that. An infinite number of times you need to be willing to forgive and draw someone into the fold, to reach out your hands and accept and comfort. It never means that you have to say that the person who sinned against you is right. But it means letting go of the hatred, letting go of the judgment that so often pops into our minds. We're going to get there. I don't know where there is, but we will. And I know we'll get there as we discover within ourselves the power of the living God to accept, to open our eyes to ways other than our own, to reach out in words of comfort and hope and joy where we find it. I also know that the easy way is the way of judgment and division and anger and hatred. But as I say now, and as I've said before, we are called to something higher. We are called to be faithful followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, who called us not to see as we see, not to accept only the things that we want, but to live in and for others. Giving of ourselves, giving of those things that may mean the most to us, so that someone else can begin to feel the hope and the joy of believing. As a Christian community, we are never called to take up our marbles and go home. We are called to be in this together. Listening, working, praying, giving, opening heart and mind to the other, so that God's transforming grace won't just change their minds, but may change our hearts so that we may be lively beacons of the gospel. Amen. Let us stand now and affirm our faith in the